Well, good morning again, and happy Father's Day. Thank you. So I realized when I got here and was looking over my talk that I made it in a smaller font than I usually do. So if you see me struggling, that's what's going on. Anyway, today's talk is honoring the Father in each of us. You know, and the dictionary, of course, defines a father as a man who begets or nurtures or raises a child. So a father can be, but a father can be anyone who serves in that capacity. So we're going to look at it sort of universally and metaphysically this morning. You know, but this definition sort of is sort of liberating, this idea that a father is anyone who serves in that capacity, because it, you know, goes way beyond the one who planted the seed who became us, right? It opens it up to giving us sort of a universal nature to the idea. And I'm sure there's many of us sitting here who have fond memories of times with our fathers. I mean, I can remember great times with my father growing up. He was always one that I could come to with anything that was going on. I remember times of calling him at 2 o'clock in the morning because I was out doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing and got in trouble. And he would just come, you know, and show up and get me out of trouble and, you know, remember one time? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you should talk to people I grew up with and say, you're a minister? Where did that happen, right? But sometimes my brother will call me and I'm, you know, doing something like, you know, repairing a toilet or doing whatever. And he'll go, well, how did you learn how to do that? And I say, well, from Dad, of course. You know, I don't know. We grew up in the same household, but I don't know how I was learning it and he wasn't. But, you know, we just, But, you know, just there's all kinds of things you can think about, or I can think about when I think about my dad. But, you know, just as we did on Mother's Day, we also have to acknowledge that there are those of us who may not have fond memories of times with our fathers. But the key is this is part of the struggle of the human spiritual journey, if you can understand what I'm saying. Meaning, as we strive to discover our spiritual nature, it becomes more and more apparent that we will have many difficult kinds of experiences that are specifically designed to awaken us to a consciousness of forgiveness, understanding, and compassion. Did you get what I'm saying? How many people are in the club that's reading The Journey Home? Just a couple? Yeah, if you have not read that book, it's a really powerful book. I don't know if you got to the scene where the Spirit was having was having Michael look down at a situation where a grown woman was with her father, and her father had abused her when she was young, but she was there demonstrating absolute forgiveness for him, and you know that this guy Michael, the one who's trying to understand more about spirituality, was, you know, he was upset. Well, how could that be? But the angel was trying to get him to understand that these situations are designed to move you into a consciousness of forgiveness. You get what I'm saying? And in even the most difficult of things. So, you know, those of us who may not have had good experiences with our fathers or our mothers, as we get older and we move more along the spiritual path, we begin to look back and say, that really had everything to do with me learning how to be more loving in difficult situations, you know. So the very nature of the human experience is to guide us towards understanding the purpose and the power of developing a forgiving heart, all right? A forgiving heart that lives life from the perspective of looking for the good in everyone and everything instead of judging and condemning whatever or whoever, depending on what the circumstances may be. And again, so this, you know, this whole spiritual new thought process is a very difficult path to travel. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? It's a very challenging path to travel. And so we begin to realize that from the perspective of our human mind, judgment is the basis of our relationship with each other. We're always judging each other, constantly, right? Whereas from the perspective of our spiritual mind, forgiveness, patience, kindness, tolerance, and understanding is the basis for our relationships in general. Okay? So as we grow spiritually, it begins to become apparent to us that as we look back over our past relationships, everyone that we encountered was at that time doing the best they could do to try to discover their own spiritual essence. Now, if you ask them, or even we ask each other, in difficult situations, we don't say, oh, yeah, I'm trying to develop, you know, discover my greatest spiritual essence. We don't say that, okay? But we got to understand that that is what's going on. So our personal self is not understanding what's going on, but our soul is saying, this is an opportunity for me to enhance and better develop my forgiving heart. The personality is just saying, I want to slap this person upside the head, okay? And so it's really, you got to bring your persona in line with your soul's journey to make this thing work. So, with every word we speak and every action we perform, there's a calling from deep in our soul to come from love and forgiveness. So everything that happens in our lives, the personality is thinking one thing, but the soul is calling for us to say, this is an opportunity for love and forgiveness. But it takes deep listening and a forgiving heart to be able to hear that calling. All right? Now, that's why, as Jesus expressed in Matthew 22:14, many of you heard me say, many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? So we look at that metaphysically as many are called, but few choose. And the reason you can only be chosen by the Holy Spirit is if you choose to be chosen. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is always choosing you and saying, this is an opportunity for you to come from love. But you have to choose to be chosen. You have to be open and receptive to what? God's living Spirit of truth that's always working within you. So the responsibility for our spiritual development always lies completely on our shoulders. We always say, with God's help. Well, God's help is always there, but are we willing to receive that help? And we're the ones who must constantly choose to listen to hear the Holy Spirit call for forgiveness and patience over being resentful and judgmental. Because a judgmental mind cannot hear the calling of the Christ. Right? So the calling is always happening. But if you're functioning in a judgmental, resentful mind, you can't hear that calling. So the key is, that's why Jesus said, pray always. So you're always in this constant mindset of listening for that inner spirit. And how many of us, are aware of how difficult it is to choose between feelings, words, and deeds that are spirit-centered and those that are not? Okay? It's not easy to listen with your heart because your ego is also calling you to be judgmental instead of being still. Now, if you think about it that way, so next time, something happens and you feel your ego get ready to pounce, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe it's just me. Maybe you don't do that, right? But you get ready to pounce. Well, your ego is calling for you to do that. Your ego is saying, you know what the ego is saying? It's not, you heard me say this before, it's not necessarily what's happening right now. It's your history, your emotional history, that this thing is triggering, and the ego says, what you do in this case is you pounce. So the ego is calling, but spirit is also calling. So it comes down to which one are you going to choose to listen to, okay? And we have already discovered, this life experience is not easy. Oh, didn't any of you discover that? Okay, a little bit of a challenge, right? And you heard me say from a metaphysical perspective, in the universe, the earth is considered the boot camp of the universe. In other words, if you're trying to really evolve spiritually, as a spirit, you say, I need to go to earth. Because this is where it's really happening, right? So, but, the process is that each of us is working towards self-discovery. We're trying to understand who am I really. And those of us who are parents, fathers and mothers, are always trying to fulfill our roles to the best of our ability in accordance to where we are on the spiritual journey, okay? So that goes back to the statement that everybody is operating from their Christ to the best of their understanding of that. That's a challenging thought, because we can look at a lot of things on the news and go, oh, they know Christ in that situation, right? But we're all functioning to the best of where we can. But try as we will, we still find ourselves striving to create a balance between our ego's perception and the inner calling of spirit for forgiveness, patience, and compassion. So let me say that again. We're always striving for this balance between our ego's calling to function as it pounces as it normally does, and this inner calling from spirit is saying, no, this is a time for forgiveness, for patience, for compassion. And I know many of us, if we could, if we were having a group session right now, could name a situation where we did our thing, the ego thing, but in the back of our mind, we heard this little calling going, try this. All right? So it's always there. You know, and many of us discovered that this, the journey of parenting can be tough as well as rewarding, all right? It's a journey that has twists and turns between being proud and being disappointed, being feeling that your children are safe and feeling that they're not, between feeling that you have a connection, a bond, an understanding with your kids and feeling you do not, between having a sense of satisfaction they're accomplishing and a sense of bewilderment of what the heck are they doing, right? So today we're talking about a father's role in that journey. And father is a very powerful word in our language, not just in our language, but in all languages and cultures. The word father is a very powerful, and it conjures up all sorts of memories and emotions and expectations. And this is not to say that it's more powerful than mother, but it is the thought of the focus of today. And actually, if we think about it, we may wonder, in the true sense of the idea of parenting, where does mothering leave off and fathering begin? Or where does fathering leave off and mothering begin? Yeah. You know, for many of us, we have played what? Both roles, okay? And it's interesting in society today, you know, for those of us, you know, from way back, there's always the mother's role to do the mothering thing. But I remember when I was working for IBM in the 70s, the corporations were beginning to promote the wife, the mother, the woman, to high positions, and now the husband had to follow where she was going. You get what I'm saying? And that developed a whole new trend of now the father had to be the mother. You know, I know in my son and his wife, because she is a colonel in the army, he's got to go where she goes, and he's the one who really raised the children. So the whole idea of father-mother dynamics is really changing as society has changed, you know? So, but the key is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. How many people have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Okay, so in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it says that the ancients believed that each of us is a combined union between our Mother Earth and our Heavenly Father. Now, let me quote what it says in Dead Sea Scrolls. For the spirit of each of us was created from the spirit of our Heavenly Father and our body from the body of our earthly mother. We are the genderless union of these two forces, the masculinity of our Father in heaven merged with the femininity of our Mother Earth. Through eloquent words and poetic reminders, ancient texts remind us that we are the product of a very special union, a sacred marriage between the union of the heavens and the tissues of our earth. That's powerful, okay? And so, and I just hope I don't get too far off, but I was listening to an audio introduced by Deepak and then Greg Braden. How many are familiar with Greg Braden? Okay. And he was talking about this idea that this whole metaphysical Christianity dynamic was the original essence of Christianity until King Constantine created the Nicene order and put the ideas of the Bible together and left out 47 books that deal more with the metaphysical essence of the spiritual process. So the way Christianity is set up today is not how it originated. It originated as a metaphysical concept, a metaphysical approach to the whole spiritual process. So this that I just read from the Dead Sea Scrolls is why the King James Version was upgraded to the New King James Version when they founded the Nag Hammadi Library. And Deepak said, when he was doing a talk, a woman walked up to him and says, well, if the original King James Version was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Of course, Jesus knew nothing about the Bible, right? So, but as it is recorded in Matthew 19:6, Jesus said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, of course, we, you know, when we do marriages, we talk about that, and we think it means the husband and the wife. And yes, on a surface level means when the husband and wife or two people come together in marriage, that you know, they should be let nobody put that asunder, split them up. But remember, there's seven levels of meaning in the Bible. Okay, so the next level of meaning of that, on the spiritual level, means that we are both male and female. We are a spiritual combination of both the divine masculine and the divine feminine. We are wisdom and love, and that is what we're being told in this idea by Christ. Do not put that asunder. Do not split the masculine and the feminine dynamic of your own spirit, because together you're coming from wisdom and love. Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary together produce the Christ idea. Does that make sense? All right. So in essence, you cannot say father without implying mother. And likewise, you cannot say mother without implying father. All right. And each brings a very special set of attributes to the relationship of the human family. And it's not so much the physical attributes of sexuality as it is the spiritual attributes of divine love, feminine, and spiritual understanding, masculine, all right? So that's what we don't want to put asunder. We want to operate as a whole spiritual being. And this is a relationship that will forever challenge the capacity of the human psyche to learn how to love with an everlasting, ever-expanding love, a love that knows no condition and no boundaries, a love that is demonstrable in all relationships, whether it's family or not, because as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is in my family. Okay? And so one of the things that I say to newlyweds in the wedding ceremony is that the greatest way to teach your children how to love is for you to love each other. All right, but this is the same, you know, this is the same as any relationship. The best way to teach love is to express love all the time. I know, and it's just you're just an energy. You want love to be something when you walk into a room or a space, people just feel love coming from you. You know, how many people know people like that? You know, or, you know, you feel the essence of them when they're around. And there's, you know, there's too many who are advocates of do what I say, not what I do. Okay, without realizing that the nature of the message in our behavior is expressing something that's different. There was a great commercial on where the father came in on the young boy smoking marijuana in his room, and he said, "Where did you learn how to do that?" And he said, "From watching you, Dad." You know, so we have to understand these kids are like sponges, especially the kids today. Incredibly brilliant. You know, already knowing things that we struggle a lot of our lives to know, they came here knowing these things already. So they're watching everything that we do. And yes, I agree, it is not always easy, desirable, or even seemingly possible to demonstrate love when your emotions have been stirred beyond your control. But this is what the spiritual journey is all about. When you feel pushed to the limit, your thought in the spiritual journey is this is the time for me to love. This is a time for me to be an expression of compassion and understanding. You know, scripture shows Jesus did not agree with the behavior of prostitutes and tax collectors. You ever notice how in the Bible tax collectors are looked at as the bad guys? But he didn't agree with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He did not agree with his accusers or the one who betrayed him, nor the ones who prosecuted, persecuted, and executed him. He did not agree with them, but he loved them and he forgave them. Father, forgive them, for they do not understand what they're doing. Okay? And as he said in Matthew 5:25, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way to the court with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you've paid the last penny. Now, in this case, the words, while you're on your way to the court, represents a situation in which you're about to be in dissension or turmoil or something, but with another person. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're on the way to the court, okay? The judge and the officer are your own thoughts, which are creating the turmoil within you and condemning you to an inner prison made of your own resistance to being loving and forgiving instead of judging and condemning. So the judge is you. It's your own inner dynamics, all right? So he says, paying the last penny means you will not be freed from your inner emotional prison that you created until you paid or released the last bit of anger and unforgiving thoughts you have about the person or situation. So we keep ourselves in jail. We put ourselves in jail, and we keep ourselves in jail. And only we have the key to get ourselves out, all right? And yes, again, I say, I know that it is not easy to be loving, kind, patient, and forgiving. The demonstration of love often requires creativity, attentiveness to details, and the willingness to change, forgive, let go of your own perceptions, and the big one, the willingness to release the need to be right. All right? And so it's a work in process. So now, and we've been, just the last year, several years, I've been talking about the idea that everything that happens is an opportunity to elevate yourself on the spiritual path. Everything that happens. Does everybody hear me? Everything, right? And the key is, God is not doing this to you. In unity, we don't even believe that about a devil, right? So the only thing that's happening is, this is the path that your soul has chosen, because there's something on that path for you to learn from, okay? And yes, we have each other to help us on the journey. That's the key. Now, love requires a mountain of patience and an ocean of forgiveness. It often requires unconditional acceptance as well as a creative communication between you and that which you don't feel like you can accept, okay? Now, some of what I'm saying really would, for us to really get the essence of it, we would need to sit and talk about it. Because I know there are experiences in here where you would go, oh yeah, but not in this situation. You know what I'm saying? And it'd be understandable. You get what I'm saying? So we don't want to negate anything that you may have gone through or may be going through that in your mind, this is just overwhelming. There's no love, forgiveness, patience, compassion. There's just frustration and anger and upset. All of that is still part of the spiritual process. When you're conscious of the fact that you're choosing one rather than the other. Did everybody catch what I just said? Okay, so the whole process is about awakening. At least I'm awake now that I'm making this choice rather than that choice. Because typically when you're asleep, you're just doing things and people say, why are you doing it? I don't know, because, you're right? And there's really no rhyme or reason to what's going on. So the key is about awakening. Remember we've said before, that if you don't know you're asleep, you won't try to wake up, okay? So the key here is, how do I begin to become more aware of what's going on? So love can require you, and this would take more discussion, love will require you sometimes to say yes when the answer sought is no, all right? It can require you to say no when the answer sought is yes. Love can make you happy, it can make you sad, it can make you joyous, it can make you mad. Love can take you to the end of what you consider to be your sanity, but it also can elevate you to the heights of exhilaration, okay? And you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, that's what Paul talks about, this idea of love and the trip that it can take you through. But no matter how dichotomous your experience, everybody know that word dichotomous, right? No matter how dichotomous your experience with love may be, it is our work, whether father, mother, sister, brother, spouse, partner, friend, coworker, or whatever the relationship is, it is our work to find the strength and courage and wisdom to express the love that's required in that moment. Okay? And I've said creativity because sometimes when stuff happens, you gotta kind of like, what do I need to do here to make this okay, all right? But a husband or a friend is a moment by moment, being a husband or a friend is a moment by moment decision. Being a parent, grandparent, great grandparent, we got any great grandparents in here? Those are all moment-by-moment propositions, okay? Being able to intertwine strength and courage and wisdom with love and compassion and kindness and gentleness is a moment-by-moment decision. In other words, there's not a thing we just say, all right, I'm going to be loving all the time. You know that won't work. When the moment comes up, you say, I'm choosing love in this moment. Because it's only by moment that we can make those choices. Until we elevate to a consciousness of the Christ, or Buddha, or Maharishi, or some of these other great mystics, you know, when you get to that level. And so how does a father decide, how does a husband decide, how does a man decide what is the wise and loving thing to say or do? Well, he can do it on his own, you know, muddle through it like all of us mostly do, guys, you know, right? You know, how we just muddle through it, right? Or he can choose to do it in partnership with his indwelling Christ Spirit. Okay? Have you ever treated your child or spouse or your partner or friend in a harsh and negative way and then regretted it? Okay? On the other hand, have you ever taken the time in the face of a challenging situation while you're being taken to court by your judgmental thoughts, right? You with me? You know, and in that case, you took a moment to become still. Maybe you even walked away for a while, went and sat in the silence until you heard an inner voice emerge from inside of you that inspired you to say the right thing or do the right thing in order to bring peace and love to this situation. Okay? That takes a whole different kind of courage, a whole different kind of mindset that, you know, not to dominate with your energy, but to become still and allow the Christ to move through you. Okay? And I know today we're mostly talking about what it means to be a father, but in all situations regarding your relationships with another person, there is no greater love that you can show than to take a moment to consult with Spirit, to go to the center of your being where love dwells and tap into that source and then share from that source as opposed from your own ego perceptive. And so we as fathers become incredibly loving, compassionate fathers when we learn how to love from our relationship with our indwelling Christ Spirit. We as husbands become incredibly more loving and compassionate husbands when we learn how to love from our relationship with our indwelling Christ Spirit. And we have within us the capacity, the power, the strength, the will to be free from our ego perception and become open and receptive and available to Spirit. To transcend my own persona, my own, you remember what I told you that means, right? Persona, the mask behind which we make a sound. Per, P-E-R, means mask, and sona means sound. So we pull this mask up, and we sound off through that mask. But to have no mask, and just be open to Spirit speaking through you, that takes a whole nother mindset. You get it? And I don't want you to think, this is not easy, all right? One thing that people who know me know that I do is I experiment and practice with that which I talk about, okay? And so that's why I know it's not easy, all right? You gotta really work at this process. And, you know, Sam and I talk all the time about being prayed up. In other words, you gotta pray up. You know, you've heard me talk about the book, The 10-Minute Salesman, 10-Minute Manager, The 10-Minute Parent. They done this, a 10-Minute Series. And in the 10-Minute Series, really what you're doing is you're constantly perceiving the good in what you're walking through. So if you're a salesperson, instead of you going and saying, oh, they're not going to like my price, I'm probably not going to be able to do this right, you know, you don't want to rehearse that. Right? But that's what we do. We rehearse the negative that's going to happen in a certain situation. So what the 10-minute series talks about is rehearse in your mind that which you want to happen. See yourself being peaceful and calm no matter what comes up. You know what I'm saying? So those kinds of dynamics. So that's the idea of being prayed up. And we have within us the capacity, the power, the strength, the will to be free of our ego's perception. And as it says in Psalm 59:9, O God, my strength, I will watch for you. For you, O God, are my fortress. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will lift me up and make me triumphant in front of my enemies. Now, my enemies being those thoughts and emotions that would have me judge, condemn, rather than love and forgive. Okay? And again, I say, I know how difficult it can be to love from our heart rather than react from our ego. Okay? But as Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, 9, for this reason I kneel before the Father, for from his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, as he strengthens you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, so he's praying for us to be filled with all the measure of God as we interact in the world. And as fathers, as men, we need to allow ourselves to be filled with a good measure of the fullness of God, of the fullness of love. This is how we become good examples for all children, by demonstrating for them the power that comes from living the continuous presence of love. And we cannot expect the children of the world to learn about love if we are not demonstrating love in our own relationships. Do you think the children of the world are learning about love by watching the news? Watching what's going on in this country and in other countries? You know, it's just, it's crazy. But we have to become that demonstration, because they watch, well, fortunately, kids don't watch the news very much, all right? But we can become an example of that news if we allow it to affect us negatively. And they may not see it on TV, but they will see it in us. So we have to become that demonstration of love, you know? So, and we will not find within ourselves a capacity to demonstrate these things in our relationships if we're not closely and continuously in relationship with our own indwelling Christ Spirit. And I'm going to end with this poem. Father, I know that all my love is portioned out for me between my wife and my children and all who depend on me. The challenges and changes that will surely come, I do not fear to see. Because being in continuous communion with thee, O Lord, I have a presence of mind that is intent on pleasing thee. Amen.